Well, good segue from the City Paper, because we talked about an article in the City Paper with Lawrence Burney, and now we have Anna Walsh, Managing Editor and Eats and Drinks Editor for the City Paper. Anna, welcome.
Hello.
Good to have you with us.
Good to be back.
Good to have you. So you're now the Managing Editor?
Well, one of the managing editors. Yes.
I'm trying to give you another job, though. That's okay.
Yeah. Like, you know, if my boss is listening in right now, yeah, definitely. Mark Steiner thinks I should have more duties.
So this was a good piece we've had here about race and music in Baltimore. I read it this morning and had some folks on from that piece, which I think is a pretty powerful piece to do, that you all have done.
Thank you. Yeah, it's sort of, for anybody who didn't hear your really great segment with Lawrence and a few of the musicians in it. It's a collection of sort of personal essays from various musicians of color around Baltimore. And we were really happy that we could include all of their perspectives firsthand as a conversation starter in Baltimore, or I guess to continue the conversation that came out of Jana Hunter's op-ed in Pitchfork about this very issue of race and segregation in the Baltimore music scene.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. I mean, as we've been doing these conversations together, one of the things that struck me, Anna, is how much time and space the City Paper is now devoting to issues like this and to issues of race and the future of Baltimore, which I think is a major change and a real important change at the City Paper.
Thank you. Yeah, it's something we talk about a lot in the office, honestly. Is, you know, we can talk about art and we can talk about music and we can talk about food, but what good is talking about any of those things in the city without also talking about all of the different forces that influence how those things manifest themselves in Baltimore? You know, you can't talk about the art scene without talking about how some artists get funding while others don't, and how does race play into that, and, you know, how do murals affect neighborhoods that they're put up in, which actually is, as a convenient segue, that's one of our stories this week. Is one of our interns, Emma Day, talks about the various mural projects that are going on around Baltimore. She talks about the Art at Work. She went to the opening for that, which was, you know, Baltimore youth were paid to work on murals around Sandtown. And so she does a really good job of comparing that to some of BOPA's other projects, and the Open Walls project from a few years ago, and dissecting what do these murals mean? What do they contribute? What sort of role do they play in the communities that they're being put up in?
So I'm curious, tell me the things that are at the top of your list for this issue for us to know about.
Well, let's see, other than the cover story and that story, I think, Fred Sharman.
The fountain, the McKelvin.
Yes. Fountain. So he actually tracked down the architect who originally put together the fountain, and has like a really interesting conversation with him about, you know, what the planning process was when McKeldin Fountain was first put up and what a lot of the inspiration was. And he talks about being inspired by all the waterways surrounding Baltimore when he was designing it. And he's pretty frank in how he feels about them trying to take down the fountain, and thinks it's a short-sighted view, which, you know, I think he's obligated to think, considering that he designed it. But it's
no, I think he is. But I also think there is something about when we create some work of art, whether you like the piece of art or not, and create a space dedicated to actually somebody who is really an interesting character in Baltimore politics, Theodore Roosevelt McKeldin, who pushed the color line in Baltimore before any mayor before him did back in the 50s. It's an interesting human being. He had a very strange way of talking. He did, but I mean, I think that there's something to that. It's not just, you know, I have mixed feelings about them tearing that down.
Yeah, definitely, and I think this the interview with the architect sort of gives an additional perspective to keep in mind, or additional context that we should think about as we consider, you know, what is the use of this public space, and how can we best utilize it, and how can we best make sure that it's, you know, serving the city or serving the city's population.
And you have a piece about Lamondo.
Yes. So Mara Callahan, our performing arts editor, checked in with the people who are trying to put together a performing arts space, collaborative space, on the 400 block of North Howard Street. And one of their – so they had originally bought three old three old buildings on that block with the help of some city funding and grants and whatnot. And one of the buildings actually burnt down, and so they have to tear it down, unfortunately. But they're still using the other two buildings and raising a lot of funds to convert them into collaborative spaces for different performing arts groups to use and to communicate with one another.
And before we run out of time, mm-hmm. as the Eats editor, what did you give us this week?
Well, one of our food writers went to Jokers and Thieves down in Canton, and she does a really great job talking about how, sort of comparing it to the menu that was there in that space before when it was JD Smokehouse, and talking about how, you know, it's some of the same meat-heavy comfort food that you could expect from JD's Smokehouse, but a little bit classier. You've got a few more Baltimore-inspired ingredients in there, and it sounds pretty delicious, I have to admit.
You haven't tried it, though?
No, not yet, but, right. You know, I'm adding it to my list of places to go.
All right. Anna Walsh, managing editor, eats and drinks editor of the City Paper, joins us once again for our weekly check-in on the new issue, which is out right now, so just pop it out of the box all over the city, wherever you find it, and check out what's happening in our own town. Anna, thanks so much once again.
Always my pleasure, Mark.
Take care. Thank you all for being part of the show today, listening in, calling in, and hearing these conversations we bring to you all about our community and lives. The Mark Steiner Show is a production of the Center for Emerging Media. Our producers are Stephanie Mavronis and Mark Gunnery. Our engineers, Andrea Melton. Our interns are Manifa Wilson and Shireen Yunus. Our assistant producer is Sienna Greaves. Our theme music is by Wal Matthews of Clean Cuts. To podcast The Mark Steiner Show, share it with your friends. Visit us on the web at steinershow.org or listen to us via your favorite podcasting app. For your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. I'm Mark Steiner. Take care.